Hello, good morning. Happy Sabbath. The scripture reading is taken from Matthew 26, verse 41. Watch and pray that he enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. It's in the region of God's words. Thank you.
Good morning, church family. It's good to be here this Sabbath morning. Well, it looks like it started out a little small, but we got an excess of flow of wonderful people and guests today. So we're glad that everybody made it their way here to church today. And I hope you'll be blessed by the sermon. Spiritual preparedness. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father, yes, indeed, we will be facing some temptations. We will be, as Seventh-day Adventists, soon upon your return. And therefore, we want to be prepared. We pray that through this message today, you will prick our hearts in different ways in which we can be more prepared for the challenges we are facing in the future. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Well, our key text, Matthew 26:41, is what we're going to be talking about. But before we get there, what do you think of when you think of preparedness? Or preparation? Do you think of people stocking up on food? Do you think of the empty toilet paper stands in the? What Bible stories do you think of when you think of preparation? Do you think of the story of the flood, the end of the world, and Noah preparing an ark? Do you think of Joseph in the time of Egypt when there was going to be no more food? Or there's the text that says there's a hungering for the word of God. In our verse today, Jesus basically says, be prepared. Watch and pray, right? That you enter not into temptation, he says. In Matthew 7, Jesus tells about building the house upon a what? The sand? Build the house upon a rock. And that rock represents Jesus, right? And then in Matthew chapter 24, we have all the signs of Jesus' second coming, or at least a lot of them, right? A lot of things happening before Jesus comes. And then those are to warn us so that we can do what? Everybody say prepare. They can warn us so that we can?
Prepare.
All right. Yes, we need to be prepared. And the thing is, the reason why Jesus in his word in Timothy says the word of God is to help us. It's good. It's useful for doctrine, reproof. That word reproof means warning. God is warning us about what's going to happen in the future so we can get
prepared.
You're getting the hint here. Let me say it again. God warns us about things in the future so we can get
prepared.
I should like pit both sides against each other. No, just kidding. So anyway, but the point is that, God wants us to prepare. And there's different types of preparedness. There's preparing physically. There's preparing mentally, right? Or emotionally. But I want to focus on what? Spiritual preparedness today. So I want you to be spiritually prepared. And so that's what Jesus was talking about to the disciples in Matthew 26:41. And so the message is to look at four different ways of looking at the verse here, Matthew 26:41, so that we might have some ideas of how we might get prepared. how we might be more prepared for what's coming in the near future. So the first way we can look at is the historical context. So what's happening right before this verse? Well, I told you in Matthew 24, right, that it was the signs of Jesus coming. And Matthew 25 is what's happening in the church. So you got what's happening in the world, right? The signs in the world and the natural world and the crises. But Matthew 25 talks about the church. And of course, one of the parables is the virgins, right? The 10 virgins, 5 are wise and 5 are? Which ones are you?
Wise.
Wise ones, okay. And then the other is the parable of the talents. And we're supposed to use our talents for who? For God. Yeah, use our abilities for Him and not for ourselves. And then Jesus talks about judging all the nations. Well, we kind of are getting more and more political, it seems like. Well, you know, that's pretty natural. We are people. And politics is really just about being about people, you know. Anyway, so God says, I'm going to come and judge the people. I will judge the nations. And so that's what Matthew 25 is building up to. Matthew 26, where it's talking about Jesus and his sacrifice in Calvary. The Jesus goes up to Jerusalem, and he celebrates the Passover with his disciples in Matthew 26. Jesus is looking at the future and he says, I see all the disciples scattering, abandoning me, leaving me. When the crisis comes, you'll deny me. Jesus says, it's not Jesus. Peter says, not me, Lord. I would never deny you. Now, is Peter unprepared? That's obvious, right? Is Peter genuine? How many of you are genuine today? That's good. The other people, I hope you will get genuine. We need to all be genuine. So we need to be like Peter in that sense. But in another sense, we need to be obedient. Jesus tells Peter in the verse to watch and pray, to be prepared. And Peter's not prepared. So it's important to be obedient to Jesus. If Peter had watched and prayed, he would have been ready for the trial. And he would have stayed true to his Lord and not denied him vehemently, right? Denied him 3 times. Anyway, that's what we're looking at. Matthew 26 occurs in Gethsemane in verse 41 on the night of Jesus' arrest during the Passover. After the Last Supper, Jesus leads his disciples to the garden on the Mount of Olives. There, in deep anguish, he begins to experience the weight of what he calls this cup. A clear Old Testament image of divine wrath. God talked about the nations would reach the cup of their sins was full, and when the cup was full, then judgment would happen. And so he commands Peter, James, and John. He says, keep watching and praying so that you do not come into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Matthew 26:41. Historically, this moment anticipates both the disciples' imminent scattering and Peter's denial. First century Jewish expectations of the Messiah did not include a suffering, crucified Lord. The disciples were spiritually unprepared. One scholar, R.T. Francis, says that in Gethsemane is the decisive moment where obedience replaces the earlier misunderstandings of messiahship. Jesus submits fully to the Father's will while the disciples fail to stand watch. This event unfolds under Roman occupation during the heightened Passover tensions in Jerusalem. The arrest that follows is not accidental. It fulfills Scripture and God's redemptive plan. So, you know the story. They're in the garden, and what happens? They come to take Jesus, and what happens to all the disciples? They all scatter. They all scatter. They leave Jesus. And that includes Peter. This event... but you say, well, what is the theological significance of this? This verse reveals several profound theological things. A, human weakness and sin. Jesus said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. How many of you anticipate temptation this week? Yeah. Satan is going to tempt you. How are you going to be spiritually prepared for that? Jesus said two things, watch and pray. What do you think he meant by that? Well, we should pray like Jesus taught, you know, that we would not enter into temptation. But of course, we know that we probably will. So maybe we would be prepared for the temptation beforehand. We could actually ask God to help us with the upcoming trial that we could what? Stand firm. That we could stand firm through the trial with Jesus and not fail, not fall, not sin, instead of what sometimes happens, right? So, him saying the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak, suggests that like Peter, we have an eagerness to obey God, but a weakness suggesting we might possibly fail. And so let's watch and pray. And what is, well, let's back up here. The spirit is willing. The word sarx or flesh, but the flesh is weak, refers to not just the physicality, but the fallen human frailty susceptible to sin, talked about in Romans chapter 8, right? Remember, Paul talks about that, you know, that we, he says, what I don't want to do, that's what I do. That's Paul. So is it true of you? If it's true of Paul, it's probably true of us too. Though the disciples expressed loyalty, their weakness leads to failure. Scripture consistently teaches that sin separates us from God in Isaiah 59:2, but your wrongdoings have caused a separation between you and your God. Even believers remain vulnerable when they rely on themselves rather than God's sustaining grace. I remember talking about preparedness. A few times when I was a child, I went camping with the Pathfinders. And you know what? I stayed up all night long. Not because I wanted to. I didn't bring enough blankets. I was cold. So now I bring lots of blankets when I go camping with the Pathfinders. You never know. You might need them. It's kind of funny because usually when you're packing, the weather is hot, and you think it'll never get cold enough that I'll need all these blankets and sweaters and coats and gloves and hats. But you know what? Invariably, you're packing in the middle of the day when it's hottest, and you're wearing shorts, and you're going to be camping up in the mountains where there might be snow or ice. I remember one particular camp out. We were camping with the Pathfinders, okay? And I hope you guys don't mind me telling Pathfinder stories today. I see some of the leaders smiling. I think they're okay with it. But I was camping, and, I had looked at the weather forecast, and it seemed like it was going to be, you know, a nice weekend for camping. And we were camping actually not far from the church, and that was a good thing because it started snowing in the middle of the night, and I was just one of those nights where I didn't bring my blanket, and I was still awake, and it was like 2 a.m, and I was like, this is going to be a long night. And I started listening, and I could hear the others like moving around trying to keep warm and in the other tents. And finally, I said, okay, Pathfinders, because I was the leader. I said, who's cold? Who's awake? And everybody was awake. They were all cold. And so we just took and our tents down, and we threw them in the car, and we drove to the church, and we went inside, and we slept inside the church because it was much warmer there. But it was snowing. Yeah, we were taking our tents down in the snow, and it wasn't supposed to snow that weekend. But invariably, I have a saying that if you set up a tent, the weather will change. And it will rain for sure, but in this case it snowed. Anyway, is there a necessity to pray? Yes, absolutely. Jesus links watchfulness and prayer as the means of resisting temptation. In 1 Corinthians 16:13, it says, be on the alert, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Be of a sober spirit, says 1 Peter 5:8. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion. Friends, are you ready for temptation? The word in Greek can mean a testing, enticement to sin. In context, it refers to the coming trial in which the disciples would be tempted to fall away. Without prayerful dependence, they would succumb, which they did. In contrast to the disciples' weakness, Jesus is in the garden, and what's he doing? He's praying. In Matthew 26:42, we read, Matthew 26:42, if you have your Bible, it says, again, a second time he went and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it. Your will be done. So Jesus is preparing for the trial ahead, and he doesn't like it. He wants another way, but he submits himself to obedience to the Father's will. Where Adam failed in the garden, in Genesis chapter 3, Christ obeys in the garden. Paul explains in Romans 5:19, for as though one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one, many will be made righteous. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for what Jesus did in the garden. Matthew 26 stands within redemptive history. Human weakness magnifies Christ's faithful obedience. Now, Matthew writes this to demonstrate that Jesus is the promised Messiah and Son of God who fulfills the law and the prophets. Throughout his gospel, he emphasizes fulfillment. In this scene, Matthew highlights three things. One, the disciples' failure. Two, the inevitability of the cross. And three, Jesus' conscious submission to the Father. And we find in the Expositor's Bible commentary, Matthew stresses the disciples' inability to remain spiritually vigilant to prepare readers for their desertion and to contrast it with Jesus' steadfastness. Matthew's pastoral concern is evident. The Christian community must not presume spiritual strength. Is that what we do? I'm all right. I can handle it. When we come to church, it's an opportunity to submit ourselves to the Lord. To say, God, I don't know what this next week's going to look like, but I want to surrender my life to you. I want to be obedient. And to ask him for his strength. External allegiance isn't insufficient. Did you hear that? External allegiance is insufficient. What else do we need? We need to be alert. Watchfulness is the word. Spiritual watchfulness is essential. As we look at the text, it's sometimes good to look at the text before and after. So look at the verse before. It says in Matthew 26, verse 40, it says, "Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'What? Could you not watch with me?'" How long? 1 hour. You know, it's funny that we have a prayer meeting and it's sweet hour of prayer. It's usually just 1 hour. This is a plug for prayer meeting. We all need that. Amen?
Amen.
We need that time with the Lord. And immediately following the verse, look at verse 43. It says, "And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy." The repetition of three times Jesus comes mirrors Peter's three denials. The structure heightens the dramatic irony. Those who vowed to die with Jesus can't even stay awake for 1 hour. If you look at the chiastic structure, have you heard of that? We talk about that a lot in the prophecies. But this chapter has a chiastic structure in which Jesus, in verse 38, commands watchfulness. And then verse 39, Jesus prays. And then in verse 40, the disciples sleep. And then verse 41, they're commanded, the command is repeated. And then in verse 42, Jesus prays again. And then in verse 43, the disciples sleep again. This wasn't a chiastic structure. Man, I get so used to saying that, I forgot that this was just a back and forth. Okay, so this is an alternating pattern. But what does it emphasize? It emphasizes the contrast between faithful obedience versus human weakness or frailty. And then if we look at one more other way of looking at the text, that would be to look at the words, the linguistic analysis. We would find that that the words like keep watching, the Greek is a present active imperative, plural. Let me break that down. Present, it means it's happening right now. We need to be praying right now. Okay? So we prepare, not when it happens, but we prepare before. So we're preparing right now. Then the second part of that is it's active. Present active means that not only are we doing it now, but it's a continuous action. It's something that we need to keep doing, right? Present active, imperative, that the action is continues and without end. So we continue to keep praying and keep watching. Both are present active imperatives, but there's also one other aspect, and that they're plural. What that means is God isn't just saying, you keep active, keep praying, you keep praying. He's saying, we all need to be praying. Every one of us. He didn't just say, Peter, keep praying, but it was Peter, James, and John, right? It was a group. And it's so he actually left the first disciples and told them to pray, and then he brought a little group further, right? And he said, you guys stay here and pray, and I'm going to go, what, a little bit further and pray. And so each group were to all be praying. And so today we all need to be praying. We need to come together for prayer. Prayer is not an option. It's commanded in order to be prepared. And so is the watchfulness. The watchfulness, again, is to be on the alert. There is temptation coming. There is opportunities, I like to call them, opportunities to stand firm for Jesus. Do you want to stand up for Jesus? Yeah, that's what these trials are. They're opportunities you to say, no, I'm not going to go down the road of temptation. I'm going to go down the road of obedience. I'm going to stand with Jesus through this. And even if it's against my own will, I'm going to surrender my will to who? To the Lord God and to His will. Jesus gave us that example. So James clarifies the nature of temptation in the book of James 1:14. He says, but each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. So that's why it's so important that we what? Surrender our own will. Spiritual preparedness means to submit. James 4:7 says, submit to God. Once we've done that, we can resist the devil. Submit to God, resist the devil, and the Bible promises he will flee from you. But first, we need to submit. And we do that through prayer. And we do that through watchfulness. I like to also say watchfulness is another way of, because watching is something we do with our eyes. How do you read your Bible? Usually with your eyes, right? And it is a powerful word, right? So when we watch what God is saying in His Word, we're preparing for the trial ahead. We can claim those scriptures against the enemy, and we can be prepared. For watchfulness is a way of also preparing for the coming temptation. And I like to do that by reading His Word and even claiming those promises against the temptation ahead. One of the things that I read recently that we can do to prepare for trials is, or maybe let's go right into the trial. Let's say you've prepared and now the trial's on you. You are being tempted. How can you avoid that temptation? Or how can you have the victory over that temptation when you're in the temptation? When you're wanting the sin? The answer is, one, you recognize how you feel why do you want that? And you say no to it, right? That's two, say no to it. Three, you claim God's word against it. Let's say it's coveting. Thou shall not covet. If you just say that, thou shall not covet, when you're coveting, it will give you the power to stand against that coveting. This is how you can prepare for the upcoming trials that will happen this week. This week. And before Jesus' second coming, he's coming soon. And we need to be watchful and prayerful. And so he tells us in this verse how to do just that. Israel failed many times, but God did not abandon them. And God will not abandon you either in your failure. And he will redeem you. But you don't have to fail. You can walk in strength, in Christ. Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Claim those promises. Realize and pray beforehand. Lord, Matthew 6:13, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us, amen, from the evil one. Matthew 26:41 is a livid illustration of Christ's instruction. In conclusion, in Matthew 26:41, we have a sobering reality of the human condition, our weakness, the absolute call or necessity of spiritual vigilance. Historically, it stands at the threshold of the cross. Jesus is telling them and showing them how to be ready for the worst trials of your life. Theologically, it contrasts the sinful human frailty with Christ's perfect obedience. Christ overcame through his surrender to the will of God. We can overcome as well. Literally, it exposes the disciples' failure to prepare for trial. We have the opportunity now to prepare for the next temptation or trial. And linguistically, its imperative stresses ongoing dependence on God. The imperative says it's not just one-time prayer, but you continue to pray about this. You continue to say, God, help me to have eyes of watchfulness, to see what is coming beforehand, and to avoid it by becoming humble, submissive to your will, and becoming prepared with the power of your word to avoid the temptation or trial when it comes. All sin offends God's justice and separates humanity from him. Even sincere intentions cannot overcome the weakness of the flesh. Only through reliance on God's sustaining grace can one stand firm. This verse calls believers to humility, vigilance, and prayerful dependence, while pointing ultimately to Christ, whose obedience in the hour of testing secured redemption for all who repent and trust in him. We're going to sing a song now called I'm Going to Calvary. Some of you might not know it, but when Jesus was going to Calvary, he demonstrated for us what it meant to pray and to be prepared, be watchful. And so we too must go to Calvary. We too must face our tests in order to have a testimony. We too will face temptations, but we can overcome by God's grace. Won't you stand with me as we sing I'm Going to Calvary, number 288. Calvary, would you like to come with me all the way and back again? You must follow the leader then. You must follow the leader. You must follow the leader all the way and back again. You must follow the leader. I am going to wear up the crown. If the soldiers knock me down, can I really be a king? Love will answer everything. If you follow the leader, if you follow the leader, love will answer everything. If you follow the leader, when I go along the road, I shall lift a heavy load. I will carry a cross for you. You will learn to carry it too. When you follow the leader, when you follow the leader, you will learn to carry it too. If you follow the leader, I'm going to stretch my hands, reaching out to all the lands. Can I really be a king? Love's the Lord of everything. When you follow the leader, when you follow the leader, love's the Lord of everything. When you follow the leader. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, I don't know what the trials or temptations will be. I just know that they were certain to come. And Lord, even though all the disciples left you, and even though we too may fail at times in the future, Jesus has promised that he has redeemed us from our shortcomings, from our failures, that it's his righteousness that sustains us. Thank you for this amazing grace. Thank you for his prayers when we lacked prayer, for his obedience when we were disobedient. And today we want to surrender again. We want spiritual preparedness. We want to surrender to the ways in which you've given us to prepare for the upcoming battles. Some of us have not been baptized. Some of us has not surrendered our lives to you. Some of us, Lord, have not prayed, not this week, not this month. God, I pray that you would give us the strength to turn to you as a friend and just invite you to change us. Invite you, Lord, into our lives, to be our Savior, to be our example, to be our Lord. You have permission in our lives, Lord, to prepare us.
Give us your word. May we read it. May we memorize it. May it change us. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. And everybody said,